ما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم، إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين. ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب، وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله من يشاء، فآمنوا بالله ورسله، وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا فلكم أجر عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى placed the test on the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم during the battle of Uhud, in which they sustained injuries. Many of the Sahaba passed away. The uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was martyred, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was injured. A part of his helmet pierced and his cheek, and he was bleeding profusely. Many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum lost their lives, Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umair and many of the other senior Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree was that the believers should not remain in a situation constant until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguishes between those who are pure and those who are impure. In other words, those who have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who reject and oppose and oppress the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore informs us of the hikmah and wisdom of difficulties which befall a believer. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the noble, the most beloved of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unto himself. Yet we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enduring so much difficulty. Those people following his way enduring so much difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mu'mineen sometimes are placed under this duress and this conditions of difficulty, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this test distinguishes between those who are purely obedient to Allah with sincerity and they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who have hidden agendas or those who in reality do not want to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows exactly what is lying ahead in the future. So what is beneficial for each and every person in their future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Many times a person thinks, in the Quran Allah says, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you think this thing is it's a good opportunity, let me go for it. وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. But there's some hidden evil or harm in that which we cannot see as human beings. And وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes a person would be apprehensive towards a particular venture, but Allah has kept goodness in it. So outwardly it looks like, okay, this proposition, this opportunity is there, but I'm not too positive. So outwardly it looks like a negative situation. But behind that negative situation, Allah has put some other barakah, some other goodness which we cannot see. So although this is relating to the battle of Uhud, where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum sustained lots of difficulties and many of them lost their lives, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the message that in the life of a mu'min in general, of a believer, there will always be these ups and downs. And this is merely to elevate the stage of a person. If a person goes through difficulty, any type of difficulty, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنَ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا أَذًا حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةَ يُشَاكُهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That any difficulty which afflicts a believer, any stress, any fatigue, any trauma, even the pricking of a thorn into the foot or the body of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons his sin because of that. So many times we go through, we know our condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people who are the most tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the prophets of Allah. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The people who have the most bala and tests by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the system of Allah doesn't go according to how we normally understand or want things to function. And if you love somebody, you'll do everything to show them that you love them in a particular way according to a human being's understanding. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq and the creator of mankind. He is not bound by emotions and He doesn't have a physical relationship with His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows signs of His qudra in amazing ways. To protect His most beloved, He uses a spider web. He uses a dove. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the mushrikeen to surround the house of His beloved Nabi Muhammad. 100 men who made the firm determination that they are going to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that this is their plan. But he doesn't have permission to migrate until Allah gives him permission. This is why the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina was not fleeing Mecca. It was the instruction of Allah that now you have to go. It wasn't that he was afraid. He knew that this is now the conspiracy that they are going to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he saw them outside his house. Allah says, okay, now is the time. Jibreel comes and says, it's time for you to leave. Put in your place Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Ali is a young boy. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Ya Ali, atanamu laylata fi firashi. Ali, will you sleep in my bed tonight? Because they're going to come in and they're just going to attack. So he said, Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we say we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love the deen of Islam, we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and everything related to him. They never just said, O Nabi of Allah, we love you. They said, O Nabi of Allah, may myself, my parents all be sacrificed for you. I'm ready to do anything. Small boy. 9 or 10 years old. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs him that all the amanat and trust that have been left behind, that of the Quraysh, the amazing thing is that they're conspiring to assassinate him. And the amanat and trust they've got in his safekeeping. So he says to Sayyidina Ali that you ensure that this amana goes back to that person. This is the owner. And he explains to him the details. And when you're done, you come to Medina. I'll meet you in Medina. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, that was the best sleep I had in my life. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, you'll meet me in Medina. I knew I'm not going to die that night. I cannot die. If Sayyidina Muhammad said, I'm going to meet him in Medina, I'm not going to die. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is protected. Now imagine there's 100 people around and they made the firm niyyah that they're not going to stop until they share the assassination of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst themselves. And now when they are standing outside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salam to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now is the time for you to go. So now I mean if we would have said, okay, the Buraq should have come, the one that came the night of Mi'raj, if the Buraq came to the house, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could use a Buraq and go and straight to Medina. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subjected to our intellect and how we want things to pan out. In our lives also, sometimes you think, I should have done this, I should have done that. But when you look back in your life, and say, Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for letting it happen the way it is. I am better off the way I am. And whatever happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put khair and some hidden goodness in it which I can experience and understand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applies his mind. He uses common sense. This is something which is also sunnah, to use your mind. How to apply yourself, what you should do. There should be a strategy, there should be a plan of action. What am I going to do? Do I go straight to Medina? They're going to follow me and they'll pursue me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diverts and he goes and he spends three days in the Ghar of Thawr, Mount Thawr. They're searching and they realize after 3 days, within 3 days, if you can't find somebody, they're already halfway to Medina. So you're wasting your time searching for them in Mecca. While they did that, he adopted the means of a good strategy to stay in the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the mushrikeen to find the cave and come to the cave. Although there were no footsteps all over, because he appointed the guide to wipe over the footsteps, but there were steps outside the cave, because it wasn't really a possibility of them coming, but Allah made them come. And those who've been to Mecca, may Allah take all of us and give us the tawfiq and the opportunity to make ziyarah of these places inshallah, so we can also benefit from the barakah. It's not actually a cave, it's more like a bottom part of a huge boulder. So it is like a cave inside, but it's not very deep. So if you just bend down, you'll be able to see inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the mushrikeen to come up to that point. They saw the footsteps going towards the cave. There's no footsteps in the opposite direction. So common sense tells you that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show mankind how He protects when He wants to protect. Allah doesn't need anything. Allah didn't need an elephant, He didn't need Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used something which He calls feeble and weak, the web of a spider. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us even through this incident how He controls the minds of His creation. Because what stopped them from going down and looking into it? There was a spider web, okay, there's a spider web. But what stops you from bending down and looking into the cave? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, they've caught us now. There's no way out because there's no escape. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds his hand and says, Ya Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bi ithnayn illahu thalithuhuma. Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think about those two who have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the third being protecting them? And they say, this is actually this test. See, like a test comes in the life. This was a test in the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to demonstrate till the day of Qiyamah the difference between the status of a Nabi and one who's not a Nabi, a Siddiq, one who has reached a status which is lower than that of Prophet. He's not a Prophet. So the yaqeen and the conviction and the contentment of heart and being pleased with the decree of Allah is so complete and perfect in the heart of a Nabi that the Siddiq is still shaken at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them blind. Like when He came out of the house, He recited verses of Surah Yasin, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And He took some sand and threw it towards them. Now that sand is not enough to go in the eyes of 100 people. If I have a handful of sand and I throw it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it is your duty to have, place your reliance in Allah, but adopt some means. We're not taught to sit in the corner of the masjid and just make tasbih. And we don't adopt anything, divorce ourselves from the dunya. This is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that adopting the means of the dunya is part of the life of a Muslim. So yes, he knew that he's being surrounded and he knew Allah will protect him, but he still used some sand, this is a means, and recited some verses and invoking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that through the barakah of this Allah should protect him. We only recite that when we see there's a roadblock and we know there's outstanding fines. So now there's outstanding fines. Tell your children, oh, just leave Jahannam min bayni aydihim saddan. But Allah has given us this for every difficulty in our life. Or something about the customs, especially when you come from Allah. There's no harm in doing it even at that time. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you, then... But don't lie. We shouldn't tell lies. Yeah. Lying is haram. They say normally the hujjaj, the first sin they commit is at the airport. After they come back from Hajj, their hearts are white and shiny, mashallah. When they come and they see that officer, they say, excuse me, say, come this side. They say, no, there's nothing inside. We hold the watches and the jewelry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. These difficulties is actually to make us stronger and better. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud has been tested. He is injured. Many of the Sahaba lose their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's nothing for you to be concerned about. Allah doesn't expose the entire knowledge of the unseen to you. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected the prophets that He has appointed. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. It is your duty to bring iman in Allah and His Rasul. If He tells you to do, do it. Whether you see the hikmah and the wisdom is difficult when winter comes now to make wudu, the water is cold, and then to go to the masjid to perform salah, these things seem difficult. These are also tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bring iman in Allah and His Rasul. وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And if you bring iman in Allah and you have consciousness and taqwa, فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a great reward for those who comply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength of iman to face whatever challenges come in our life, whether it be in personally, whether it be in our communities, in our families, whether it be in our country, whether it be in the world. And constantly show sympathy and empathy towards those experiencing difficulties, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we can do to remind ourselves that the life of this dunya is short. If a person goes through difficulty and he has sabr in his life, and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that sabr is actually a means of such great rewards. In the hadith it is mentioned, on the day of Qiyamah, when a person sees the reward of those du'as which he made at the time of difficulty, which he thought were not accepted. He was going through difficulty and stress, and he made du'a and he said, "Hey, I'm struggling and I'm not seeing." We should never say the du'a wasn't accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person says that my du'a wasn't accepted, then he's basically lost hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the du'a won't be accepted. But in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if when a person sees the reward of those du'as which in his opinion didn't seem to materialize in this world, he would wish on the day of Qiyamah that none of his du'as were accepted. In this dunya, we want all the du'as to be accepted. But when we see the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your own benefit, to give you something much greater, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give you what you asked for. Even our parents, as parents, we can understand that sometimes a child wants a sweet, and the parent knows that that particular sweet might have an allergic reaction to that. The child doesn't know that. And the child temporarily feels disappointed that, no, my father didn't give me the sweet. His heart might be... So even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and his rahmah is even more enveloping than the mercy of a parent towards a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what will benefit, what will harm. In fact, in a hadith, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps a person comfortable because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this person, if he goes through difficulty, he'll become disobedient. And some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them in restricted conditions, because in that conditions they turn to Allah. If they have to get wealth, they'll rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us contentment in our hearts, inshaAllah, and strengthen our iman and give us the tawfiq to prepare for the akhirah.